There we go. Thanks to everybody for coming out to hear this spotty dog tonight. Do my best to hold back you teeming, untamed masses. They're about to overtake me. My name is Peter Aaron, and my component of this event is to call attention to my book, If You Like the Ramones, which was published by Backbeat Books very recently. I have copies here tonight. I will even sign one for you if you're interested. Please come and see our lovely ladies at the counter here, or me. So I'm going to read a few short pieces, sections of pieces from the book to get started. And then we've got Annie Chernoff coming up right after me. And we're going to show some rare live video of the Ramones and some other bands from New York back in the day a little bit later on. It seemed like the best place to start would be the introduction to the book. So I'm going to read a little bit of that for you right now. Tulare has long been one of the most popular watering holes in the Lower East Side. But when I lived in New York during the 1990s, on most early Tuesday evenings, say about 7 or 8 o'clock, it was pretty slow. That's when I most liked to go. And it seemed to be the same for Joey Ramone, as the occasional Tuesday night was usually when I saw the Ramones front man there. The dictator's handsome Dick Manitoba, always good for conversation, would be holding court from behind the bar and would bring in mixtapes, as in actual cassette tapes, which he'd play on the bar stereo. Anyway, on one of those nights, I was sitting at the bar about 2 or 3 empty stools down from Joey. Manitoba was spinning a great compilation of British Invasion stuff. Classics by the Beatles, the Zombies, the Hollies, the Yardbirds. Just one gem after another. Other than the music, not much was happening. Once in a while, Manitoba or I would make some little observation about one of the tunes, but that was all. And Joey was just sitting there in silence, lost in thought with his drink in front of him and that famous avalanche of black hair hiding his face. He was stock still. I wondered if he'd fallen asleep on his stool. But then, after a few more of the nuggets on Manitoba's tape had gone by, something wonderful happened. The Who's The Kid's All Right came on, a ringing decor by Pete Townsend, then his voice in harmony with Roger Daltrey's, "I don't mind," before Keith Moon's drums bring in the next lyric, "Other guys dancing with my girl." After those first 6 seconds, the whole band comes in and the song explodes. And when it did on this particular night, Joey's head shot up as if he'd been shaken from a daze, jolted with electricity. He looked around the near empty room. "All right," he purred, barely audible, as his eyes met mine from across the rims of his trademark granny glasses. He smiled for a second, slowly nodded, and that was all. He put his head back down and returned to nursing his booze, staying silent for the duration of the night. It was a fleeting glimpse, but it was a perfect snapshot. It summed up what Joey and his bandmates were all about, an undying love of and unshakable belief in rock and roll and all of its transformative promise. A love of great songs that make you feel good from the first moment you hear them and never fail to do the trick after that. I mean, how many times must Joey have heard The Kids Are All Right? The Who was his favorite band. He saw the group on its first U.S. tour in 1967, opening for Herman's Hermits. A pivotal experience, he said many a time afterward. He probably bought the single of The Kids Are Alright when it came out, and wore out that and all the other tracks on the Meaty, Beaty, Big and Bouncy anthology. I even saw him sing the song once, complete with lasso swinging, Daltrey-esque microphone action, and the Dictators backing him up at his 1998 birthday gig at the now-gone Coney Island High on St. Mark's Place. And yet hearing that song for the umpteenth time that night at 2A still clearly and greatly thrilled the vocalist. It got him tapping his high top foot, maybe made the back of his neck a little warm and tingly, gave him a few goosebumps here and there. It put that little grin on his face and got him to forget about whatever was bugging him for 2 minutes and 45 seconds. Even made his night. I've treasured that moment ever since. Thanks. Thank you. So besides obviously there being a greater portion of the book devoted to music that either influenced the Ramones or was contemporaneous of the Ramones when they first started out or was influenced by the Ramones, there's a chapter on non-musical cultural influences, TV shows and comic books and cartoons and that kind of stuff. So this is a little bit of the first part of that chapter. And that chapter is called Bad Brain, appropriately. All the titles in the chapter titles are named for Ramones songs. What, besides music, shaped the personas and twisted the ripe young heads of the Ramones? As teens, while their withered peers were fawning all over high-minded stuff that got them laid at fondue parties, like yoga, Bergman films, or macrame, our four reprobates were busy absorbing the kind of marginalized, immature, lowbrow effluvia that was beneath the contempt of the big kids. Crap like comic books, cartoons, wacky sitcoms, and horror, sci-fi, and monster movies. The fun, kitschy material we now call trash culture, a phenomenon whose ironic elevation to respectability is due in no small part to the Ramones reminding everyone how innocently and utterly enjoyable this stuff is. High art be damned. Voiced with a Brooklyn accent by the great Mel Blanc, the wisecracking, carrot-chomping Bugs Bunny is a punk predecessor if ever there was. Originally intended for adults, many of the other early Warner Brothers cartoons are impressively subversive, with references to sex, drugs and alcohol, and pop or celebrity culture. And it stands to reason that the Ramones would dig cartoons. They seem like cartoon characters themselves, long before they were immortalized as such on The Simpsons. Practically since television sets first entered American homes in the late 1940s, kids have had their brains bent by animated shorts filled with goofy characters whacking each other over the head with frying pans and blowing each other up with bundles labeled TNT. And really, is there a better way to be introduced to this wonderful thing called society? No. Cartoons are a key part of the glorious, innocent brain rot that informed the Ramones' aesthetic. And hey, who says you gotta stop watching cartoons once you're a middle-aged punk rocker? If there's one thing that never gets old, it's dumb, juvenile yucks. Thanks. Okay, so this last piece I'm going to read before Andy comes on is about his old band, The Dictators, who I loved ever since I first heard him back when I was much younger than I am now. In many ways, the Dictators were the Ramones before the Ramones existed. From their clothing, like jeans and leather jackets, and their lowbrow infatuations, like fast food and trash TV, to their musical influences, garage and British invasion rock, and the Stooges, the MC5, and the New York Dolls. They're considered one of the original New York punk bands, and by many, the best live act of all of them. Yet the Dictators actually spanned the gap between the initial CBGB's wave and the earlier proto-punk bands. Frustrated by the apathy that greeted their 1975 debut, the Dictators Go Girl Crazy, they broke up, but soon reunited to join the fun on the Bowery when they sensed an appreciative new audience. And they were a definite influence on the Ramones, who, prior to forming, regularly caught their thundering over-the-top sets at area clubs. The Dictators were founded by bassist, singer, and main songwriter Andy Chernoff, guitarist Ross the Boss Funicello and Scott Top Ten Kempner, and sometime vocalist and secret weapon, Handsome Dick Manitoba. Highly rocking and just as hilarious, Go Girl Crazy stands tall alongside any of its lauded contemporaneous peers, with its sturdy punk and heavy metal fusing sluggers, gutsy teen-themed pop, and sarcastic 60s covers, like the Riviera's California Sun, which inspired the Ramones version. By the 1977 follow-up Manifest Destiny, future Twisted Sister member Mark the Alma Mendoza was on bass, and Chernoff had moved to keyboards, while Manitoba, though contributing more lead vocals, had yet to take his rightful place as the band's irrepressible frontman. Slightly slick and less focused than its predecessor, the album is still worthwhile for possessing two of the Dictators' top tunes, Science Gone Too Far and Young, Fast, and Scientific, along with a furious version of the Stooges' Search and Destroy. Redemption comes loudly, though, with 1978's Blood Brothers, which is all Manitoba's show on the mic. Its opener's title, Faster, Louder, says everything, while the thudding Minnesota Strip and super catchy Stay With Me and Baby Let's Twist further epitomize this genius hunk of solid punk, which you must be the owner of. Neck and neck with Blood Brothers is 2001's DFFD, a shockingly great album that seems the best by most younger bands. Dictators forever, forever Dictators. Thanks. So there's one little plug I want to make before I bring Andy on. And well, first of all, I also want to mention that Andy worked with both the Ramones and Joey Ramone as a songwriter and a studio musician, and I'm sure he's gonna talk about that during his set, but I also wanted to get the word out. I'm DJing a last Smash Crash Bash party at the Half Moon down on Front Street tomorrow. It's the last one to do for a while. Two rockin' bands from Brooklyn, The Jugs and Call of the Wild, and Sean McDevitt from Retouch Records also DJing, so putting it out there. Great to see some of you out there. With that, I'd like to bring on legendary Andy Chernoff.
Amy, can I get a beer? Some kind of ale or something. Thank you, Peter, for the introduction. Let's see.
shoes.
Do I detain you people?
Sure, this is a long time. It's very short tonight. I grew up in New York City. So the idea of Jesus' return to Earth was kind of a notion that we never heard about. The only time I even knew the thought existed, people believed such a thing, was I used to walk through Times Square and there was some like preacher with a long beard standing on a chair telling everybody Jesus is coming and the world is going to end soon, so you better repent. But I was sort of just mental illness. And then a few years ago, I started reading about how all these Republican presidential candidates believed in the rapture. I said, I got a song title. I got a song. Just 1 second. Tunage thing here. You know, a lot of people go, Andy, look, you invented punk rock. You're the Christopher Columbus of punk rock. You just play with Marshall Stacks. Now that you want an acoustic guitar, you want a sensitive singer-songwriter. No. I'm an insensitive singer-songwriter. Light shines through. Guess who's back? It's the zombie Jew. He's really pissed at the unmarried fornicators, stem cell crusaders, and the butthole invaders. Earth did quake. Just a little taste of his vengeance. America prepare for your fate. So when the trumpets sound, he will astound. Watch the rivers turn to blood. The sinners cry, the dead will rise. Judgment day has come. Are you ready to rapture the Savior that you spurn? Loves you forever, but the unbelievers must burn. When the zombie Jew returns, the Jewish zombie and a virgin for mommy. So confused, life's a mess. When you got two daddies and you think you're blessed. So we dock your sins, get back to your brain. Guilt trip until we're all insane. He needs your money, he needs your mind. From his theme park in the sky. Are you ready to rapture? Our Savior has returned. He loves you forever. But the unbelievers must burn. When the zombie Jew returns. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa. As a man of peace, he could be the president with a microchip implanted by the beast. He's gonna tempt and tease ya, use evolution to deceive ya. And when the final battle comes, will you be a chosen one? Are you ready to rapture? On a white horse you will ride. We think will be so fucking sweet when all the heathens burn. Look at you, Peter. Not you, Amy. We're going to heaven. And the zombie Jew returns. Whoa. Stormfront.org. So go to stormfront.org, and it's a White Pride Enterprises project, and somebody posted on their forum. I'm not a religious person. I try to stay away from all those debates. I sit in rivers and look at the stars. Whatever. I know the Jew who made this video. He never personally crossed me in the past. He's a good writer and musician. I was okay with him. And so, then somebody wrote, the Celtic Duchess, who is a friend of Storefront, writes, he's been slick enough to keep you from 40 years. Making fun of his own tribe doesn't mean that he doesn't hate those who are not from it even more. And then Jack Boot. Jack Root is editor and Stormfront chief of staff. A Jew figuratively urinating on Christianity is not exactly news, but this article can stay up so people are informed about Andy Chernoff. So he searched the internet, make sure my address wasn't anywhere.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, people say, Andy,
I'm not against religion, I understand. We all are searching for meaning in our lives. Put our head down on a pillow at night, we look up into the void, and what is my purpose? Why am I on this planet? And I think I found the answer to that question, and I put it into song. Wake up every morning, totally confused, because you can't get a date, but you're getting screwed. So you're searching for a reason, a way to carry on, when everything is broken and everything is wrong. So you tried to save the whales, you found the tree to kiss. Gave a crippled child his dying wish. You're waiting for an answer, a message from above. That's because you've always been a sucker, another fool in love. Hey, what's it all about? Pussy and money. I ain't trying to be funny. Everybody lies about pussy and money. It's always gonna be that way. It's always gonna be that way. You see a girl, you start talking. She sees your car, she starts walking. Sweet success, just take it. If you're sincere, you can fake it. Hey, what's it all about? Pussy and money. I'm trying to be cute. I'm trying to be funny. Everybody cries about pussy and money. And it's always gonna be that way. It's always gonna be that way. A million stars out of reach. billion grains of sand on the beach. So you pray every night when the sun goes down, because there are only two things that make this world go round. Hey, what's it all about? We're seeing money. I'm trying to be cute. I'm trying to be funny. Everybody lies about it. Everybody cries about it. There ain't nothing you can do about it. It's always gonna be that way. It's always gonna be that way. It's turned into one big mall. I grew up walking down the street, aware of every shadow behind you, because there used to be a lot of predators in New York. Pretty much, you know, New York City is safer than Kansas City. So I don't know if that's private or not private, but I wrote this a while ago with a buddy of mine about some of the predators in roaming the streets of New York. Your face is pockmarked and you're dumb as wood. Your own grandma all thinks that you're no good. You're begging for love so long you're living on your knees. Every door slams in your face like you're a social disease. Alone in the middle of the night, dreaming of a beautiful sight. Time will let you know, strike a match and let it go. If you want a show, then you gotta go. Find something beautiful. You gotta find something beautiful. Find something beautiful. Set it on fire. Set it on fire. I'm not talking about me. Got a wonderful life. Got a car and a dog and a beautiful wife. Talk about you, afraid of your dreams. You open your mouth, you can only scream. Alone in the middle of the night, dreaming of a beautiful sight. Time will let you know, strike a match and let it go. If you want a show, then you gotta go. Find something beautiful. Gotta find something beautiful. Find something beautiful. Set it on fire. Set it on fire. When everything beautiful goes up in flames, everything beautiful looks the same.
What's the key to success in the music business?
I say? Well, it don't take no melody to make some music history. You say you wanna rock, take it to the top. You gotta look good and you gotta act tough. The wheel of fortune takes a spin, and you keep shouting, let me in! You don't know what to do, I'm giving you a clue, so you can be the next two-beat rock dude. Get up! Haircut and an attitude. Haircut and an attitude. Haircut and a attitude. Well, can you dig this heavy sound? It's the sound that brings the ladies round. One white boy playing on toys. I get paid for making noise. Get up! Haircut and an attitude. Haircut and an attitude. Haircut and an attitude. You say you wanna rock and take it to the top. You gotta look good and you gotta act tough. I don't know what to do, I'm giving you a clue, so you can be the next supreme rock dude. Get a haircut and an attitude. Haircut and an attitude. Haircut and a attitude.
Nope.
He wrote a book about Joey Ramone and the Ramones, and it's been, how long has it been? About 13 years, let me see. So it's about 12 years. Almost 13 years that we lost Joey. I first met Joey Ramone at this club called the Coventry in Queens, where Dictators used to play. It was like the glam rock capital of New York, where all the glam rock bands played. And New York Dolls were king of the scene. Had a bunch of other bands, really stupid bands, like Harlem's 42nd Street Rats, and these guys, the fat guys wearing spandex, and you had the man boobs sticking out. Nobody had the smarts or the looks or the just the what it takes, like the Dolls. So see Joey in the audience, he's 6'6", hunched over, wearing satin, standing out. He really looked like the guy who got beat up in high school. And that's because he was the guy who got beat up in high school. He was a real misfit, a little mentally ill. So one day I walk down the street in the East Village, I see a poster for the Ramones. This is probably 1974. And I see Joey, or Jeff, as his real name was, and I said, he's in a band. This guy looks like he's got zero charisma. How could this guy be in a band? So go down to CBGB's. There were about 15 people in the audience. Blondie was on first, and Blondie was horrible. They didn't quite have it together. Now, obviously, they've done quite well for themselves. But the Ramones came on, and they did about 12 songs in literally 15 minutes. It was like, blah, blah, blah. I'm sitting through drum solos at this point. And we know the story. Ramones changed music forever. I'd say after the Beatles, I think they're probably the second most influential band in the history of rock and roll. But I want to jump forward a little bit. Joey, I haven't told the story in a long time. Uh, Joey found out he had lymphoma in about 1994. He didn't tell a lot of people. And one of the reasons Ramones ended was because he had to fight this disease. He was doing well, and he was very courageous, takes chemotherapy and keeping good spirits, and he was actually getting better, and we made a solo record. His first solo record, his only solo record, really, at that time. And he even did two shows. He did one show with Coventry Continental, and one show with CBGB's at the end of 2000. So he was really kind of on the way back. But one day, he went for a walk around his house, probably one of his OCD things, and he slipped on some ice, and the chemotherapy softened his bones and made him more brittle, and he broke his hip. So, to treat the broken hip, they had to take him off the chemotherapy. And once he took him off, his lymphoma kind of spread like wildfire, and it was obvious that he wasn't going to survive. So on April 15th, 2001, I got a call from Joey's brother, Mickey Lee. He said, "Andy, it looks like this is it. I want to say your final goodbyes. You got to come down now." I rushed down to the hospital on First Avenue in the 30s. I don't know if it was around Bellevue or anybody, one of those. And I walk into the room, and this is where, you know, you're in a movie when it all gets hazy and out of focus. This is my memory. It was a dream. I walk in the room, and Joey's out on the bed. Arlene, who's Mickey's wife, is like holding his hand, and I'm talking to him, like guiding him into the next dimension, like an angel. And in the room was Joey's mother, Charlotte, who's died since. Charlotte's boyfriend at the time, Larry, who's died since. Arturo Vega, who's died since. So the only survivors of me, Mickey, and Arlene. Mickey puts on a song on a DVD into a cassette, one of those boombox things. That's a song called "In a Little While," which was written by a U2 song. And the reason he put it on because it goes, "In a little while, the pain is going to go away." Now, Bono has since said that song's about a hangover. But it's been elevated because it's literally the last song Joey played while Joey was still alive. And I remember I'm still kind of dazed and realizing this is the end of my buddy's life. And I'm looking at one of those oscilloscope things and see you go flat. I look at Joey, and I literally saw life drain out of him because your heart stops pumping, your blood stops flowing, and your complexion gets white rather than pinkish or, you know, whatever normal flesh tone we have. And that was it. Joey passed away. I think we lost one of the greatest voices in music history, and certainly one of the most influential bands ever, and that's one reason why he wrote the book, because this is a band that has touched millions of people. They haven't had the record sales, but they've influenced millions and millions of people and hundreds of thousands of bands. I just think Joey has a very inspiring story. He was a misfit, couldn't fit in, but he was able to contribute to society through music. This is a song I wrote with him on his solo record. Probably the last song I wrote, but we kind of wrote it, finished it off in the studio. I had to get a little insight into his mindset while he was fighting cancer. Stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about it. Dwelling is driving me crazy. Obsessed, don't you know where that's at? You don't know what you want, but you want it. Stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about it. This world is driving me crazy. Baby, don't you know where that's at? You don't know what you want, but you want it.
stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about it. Nothing lasts forever, and nothing stays the same. I'm feeling numb all over, and totally deranged. When you finally make your mind up, I'll be buried in my grave. Don't know, don't know, don't know what you want. You don't know what you need. Don't know what you want, but you want it.
God bless you, John. Can we do Dick Davis tune? One of our most popular numbers. On our last record, the FFD. I'm very proud that our reunion record contains the most popular tunes. Anyway, here's my my goose version.
Who will save rock and roll? Marie Kay is not here today, so who will save rock and roll? Every protest singer, every guitar slinger, every punk rock sinner sells his soul. My generation is not the salvation, so who will save rock and roll? I saw the Stooges covered with bruises. Now who will save rock and roll? Every mercenary, three-chord revolutionary, choose your side, choose your well. Something died in winter. I wish Sergeant Pepper left all the band to play. My generation is not the salvation, so who will save? Who will save? Who will say rock and roll?
I've got the Rapture songs on the first one. I've got some copies here if you want. This is my first EP. It's my hit single. I made a video for this. It's the greatest video ever made. I swear to God. Go to YouTube. Watch this. Let's get the band back together. If you don't think it's the best video, I'll give you your money back. Forever, come on, never say never. Let's get the band back together. Get off the couch, dust off the gear. Screw the kids, get the calendar clear. We're gonna show them how to do it right. We're gonna do a little rocket tonight. Well, come on! To 11. Come on, we're digging out the leather. Come on, never say never. Let's get the band back together. We got a gig at the bar where they still think that we're rock and roll stars. The drum is drunk, the singer's bald. I can't even remember the chords. Yeah, yeah, we'll have a good time. We'll do a few lines. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Forget the time that I nailed your wife. Come on! Easy come, easy go. We got the magic and the little girls know. We're gonna close it with a big blues jam. I am the leader. I am the leader. I am the leader of a rock and roll band. Come on! Come on! Come on! Let's get the band back together. Come on! Come on! Come on! Let's get the band back together. Come on!
Yeah.